If you're a small business owner in Seattle, you know it's hard to find affordable workspace. A recent study found the city's commercial vacancy rate under 2%. Things are particularly tough for small manufacturers, and the battle for warehouse space has created some unlikely competitors. KUOW's arts and culture reporter Marcy Silman has our story.
Jason Hutto points out improvements he's made to a warehouse he leases in Seattle's SoDo neighborhood.
Pretty much everything you see has been kind of gutted. This was stripped all the way down to the studs and new insulation, new sheetrock, all new flooring, new sprinklers.
This is a big building, about 38,000 square feet. That's about the size of 6 football fields. This is exactly the kind of warehouse space artists love, but you won't find studios or theaters in this building. Welcome to the House of Cultivar, Seattle's largest cannabis farm.
2 weeks into flower. So the first 2 weeks is when you really get the plant to jump, and then after that is when it starts to produce the flower sets, right? So these are just kind of...
Company founder Hutto signed the lease in 2013, the year after state voters legalized recreational marijuana. At the time, Seattle land use officials had to scramble to figure out where to put the new industry.
What the city of Seattle decided to do was to create certain zones within the city where the recreational marijuana could be grown. That just happened to be in the area where we're all fighting for space.
That's artist Cheryl Andrist. Her company does high-end metal fabrication for architects and homeowners. In 2013, when the new pot laws took effect, Andrist had just moved into a studio on Harbor Island. It turned out her new next-door neighbor was a cannabis farm. They weren't exactly compatible businesses.
There's a certain time when those plants are flowering that it's pungent. I have nothing against marijuana, but when people are coming to see me and meet with me in my place of business, I want it to be about what I'm doing and not about what others are doing around me.
It wasn't just the smell. If you grow pot indoors, you need a lot of power.
And they were running 70,000 1,000 watt lights off a 110 lighting panel. That's like if you took all of the Macy's Christmas lights and plugged them into one outlet.
Eventually, Seattle City Light showed up
and said that the lines were running so hot that it was melting the insulation around the lines and that we're going to turn off the power. And I said, when? And they said, now. And it went dark.
Andrist had to shut down operations. She lost several months of work, but she was lucky she found another studio space. Seattle officials acknowledged they had to start from scratch when it came to zoning for the marijuana industry. Here's Brian Stevens with Seattle's Department of Construction and Inspections.
It was a new animal for us, and we weren't really sure how this would play out, and it's not exactly a traditional maritime or manufacturing business as we had seen in the past, since we do have limits on the amount of square footage that you can provide a growing space in our industrial areas.
Seattle City Council revised the code in 2016 to address odor concerns, but it's still a work in progress. Meanwhile, traditional industries like maritime and manufacturing now coexist with artists and cannabis producers. And even if legal marijuana put the squeeze on other small businesses, they face pressure from Seattle's relentless gentrification too, according to House of Cultivar's Jason Hutto.
In a sense, they were part of that gentrification by being the first step. The trend I see is that when they go for any sort of renewal of their lease, they will be facing an increase in their rent, and it won't be just due to the other cannabis facilities driving that price. It'll be the repurposing of all that land for other things.
In SoDo, I'm Marcy Silman, KUOW News.